So Genesis chapter 31, we're going to be picking right back up where we left off. kind of bring us back up to speed. James closed us out and showed how Jacob basically manipulated the flocks to kind of increase his wages after Laban was trying to change his wages and kind of change the plan in his favor. So Genesis chapter 31, verse 1. And he read the words of Laban's sons. He heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all his glory. So Jacob's hearing Laban's son trying to point fingers at him of, you know, you're taking our inheritance because you manipulated the flock. So now they're all for you, Jacob, and not our father. So what are we going to have? And we kind of seen it last week. Laban and Jacob were both men to be known of twisting things. But the difference between Jacob and Laban is Jacob has divine interaction. He has God's will on his side. He's doing God's work. So don't let that confuse you. Jacob wasn't necessarily a bad person. They both were known to manipulate. Just Jacob was doing it for the right reason. Genesis 31, verse 2. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. So once again, Jacob kind of explaining that Laban's countenance wasn't for him, so Jacob was twisting things and using God's divine intervention to kind of put things in his favor. Verse 3, And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So Jacob putting these things into his favor was still part of his covenant from passed down from Abraham to his father Isaac, now to him. God's now instructing him, look, you've been kind of manipulated long enough by Laban, go back home. The original reason was because Esau was upset with Jacob at the time, but also through divine interaction, Jacob was to find a wife from Laban, and now he has two. So his job here is done, it's time to go back home. And I wanted to show us this. I know we've seen this map previously, but just to kind of show once again his journey. Jacob started here in Hebron, worked all the way up to Haran. This is where he's at now. And after spending like 20 years with Laban.
Yeah, 14 before he got done paying for his lots.
So, and then six for the cattle. So, yeah. So now God's telling him, go back home, go back to Hebron. So I just wanted to kind of show you, get your bearings straight of where we're at geographically. So verse 4, And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. So Jacob's telling his wives, Your father's mission now isn't for me, okay? It's not going to... God's telling me to go back, to be sent back, and I have God to help me along this journey. That's why I'm so bountiful. So he's telling me now to go home. So he's just informing his wives at this point. That sounds weird, doesn't it? His wives. But verse 7. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. 10 times, not literal, it's metaphorical. He's changed his wages over and over, constantly twisting and turning things. But God suffered him not to hurt me. So he's saying, Laban has manipulated me over and over again, changing my wages, but God suffered him not. Verse 8. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ringstrake shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstrake. So Jacob reiterating what we saw back in chapter 30. The speckled and ringstrake cattle would be Jacob's wages. So Jacob kind of turning things back away from Laban after Laban had turned things against Jacob over and over again. Verse 9. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. So divine intervention at that point. Jacob was doing what God said. Verse 10. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lift up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straped, speckled, and grizzled. So, once again, what are we seeing here? That divine intervention. God gave Jacob the wisdom and knowledge to kind of turn things in his favor. That was a part of his covenant. And Jacob's showing that God did that for me. He's given God the glory. So God's plan coming to pass in Jacob's life and him holding his part of that covenant. Verse 11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. So once again, that angel of God giving Jacob that dream, that divine interaction. Verse 12. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straped, speckled, and gristled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. So the angel of God saying, I see what kind of strife you've been put under and things being turned sort of against you. Here's your blessing for being honest during that time, giving Jacob that abundance. Verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, being the angel of God, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me, now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. So that divine intervention taking place, this angel is telling Jacob, I am God of Bethel. Bethel being that place Jacob named where he built the pillar, because he had the dream from God, down from heaven. And he's saying, it's the same God, that's me, I'm telling you. Do what I say, because this is the will of God. Verse 14. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not, verse 15, are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money. So, going back to this time period, there was, some of us are familiar with dowries. That's how it would work. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but the man would pay... No. The dad would pay the husband, or husband-to-be, for his daughters to go to a good husband. Is that correct? Or am I getting that backwards? Okay, both ways. So, that's what Rachel and Leah are saying him, or asking Jacob, is there any portion of that dowry for us? Because if we leave... Laban's took all the riches. So is there anything? It's kind of the same thing that his sons were saying. So verse 16. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's, now then whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. So once again, Rachel and Leah, hearing Jacob's words, they're worried that their father Laban is withholding their riches. And they're asking him, is there anything for us? If you're going to, you're leaving, they're his wives, they're obviously going to go with him. So they're just trying to get their bearing straight, going back to what we've seen with Abraham, almost paying attention to the legality of things. You know, have your bearings in a row before you just take off. Verse 17, then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac, his father, into the land of Canaan. So I want to show here another illustration, same map. So they're going from Padan Aram, they're in this area, Padan Aram, all the way down from cattle back to Hebron, because all this area was Canaan. So just, that's right, correct? So, I just wanted to give another illustration. They're about to ride camels that far, as a lot can go on. But just trying to get everybody a good illustration. So verse 19. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. So that word images here, when you translate it back to the Hebrew, translates to terrapin. Terrapin were like, well, terrapin means family idol. So it was idols used for household worship and would sometimes represent people in the spiritual world. So a lot of times you see an urn with ashes in it. That's my grandfather. That's a teraphim. And during this time, there was a lot of people worshiping those, speaking to their deceased family, relatives, you know, whatever. And it's a false idol, basically. It's idolicism. So Rachel stole them because they were worth money, and she had a fear that she wasn't going to have any inheritance. So she stole them for money. And in this verse, it's translated to teraphim when Rachel's speaking about it. But later on, we're going to see, keep that word in the back of your mind, because when Laban speaks on it, it uses a whole different meaning. So just remember that word teraphim. Verse 20. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So unawares, translating to Leb, meaning the heart or feeling over someone. So Jacob stole the character, his character. So he kind of gave himself a bad character by just leaving. He didn't tell he was serving Laban. He didn't tell him he was leaving. He just kind of backed out. So it's just saying Laban kind of has a bad image on Jacob at this point. But remember what all Jacob had been through. Verse 21. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount of Gilead. And Gilead is just a region east of Jordan. Verse 22. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. So Laban was told on the third day Jacob was fled. What is 3 in biblical numerics? Signature of God. God's plan coming to pass. Jacob is following God's plan. Verse 23. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him into Mount Gilead. So Laban, now having a bad outlook on Jacob, gathered up his men and was headed to overtake Jacob. And it was a 7-day journey. Once again, numbers mean something in biblical numerics. What is 7? God's completeness or perfection. This whole story is God's plan coming to pass. It's written in the numbers. Verse 24. And it came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So what's being documented here? Laban, who, I don't want to say wasn't a man of God, but wasn't near as strong in his relationship with God as Jacob was. Now he's having divine interaction, basically, with God. And God's telling him, don't harm Jacob. Don't even talk bad about him. Don't interact with him. And Laban's getting this information firsthand from God through a dream. Verse 25. Then Laban overtook Jacob. So Laban obviously did not follow God's command. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the Mount of Gilead. So God told Laban firsthand, leave Jacob alone. What does he do? Laban still pursues him. He still goes after him. So what are we seeing here from Laban? He's letting that sin of pride, almost, the way of the flesh, basically get in the way of his relationship with God. He's disobeying God, which he witnessed firsthand. So verse 26. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? So Laban's still trying to make Jacob look like the bad guy here. Now, well, let's keep reading. Verse 27, getting ahead of myself. Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. So Laban's kind of gaslighting Jacob here. So we read in the last 2 chapters that it happened time and time again, Laban deceiving and twisting things to Jacob. And now he's telling Jacob, why didn't you tell me you were leaving? Laban's getting put in a bad spot, Jacob leaving. But after 20 years of misconception, how can you blame Jacob, you know? And Laban's telling him, if you'd have told me, I'd have threw you a party. We'd have partied you out of here, you know, celebrated you. Nowhere do I believe or is it documented that Laban would do that. You know, just based off the past 20 years, he's gaslighting Jacob here, basically. Verse 29. It is in my power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So, wait a minute. Laban's now admitting to Jacob that God came to him in a dream. Yes, he still pursued Jacob, but he's saying, you know, God's kind of in the back of his mind here, what his commandment. Verse 30. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Now remember that word terrapin. So now that Laban's talking about terrapin, that word gods, it was translated in the Hebrew from Elohim. And as we know, Elohim is a plural word that basically represents God. It represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I wanted James to check this out before Sunday, because we could do a whole study, using your words, on this one word Elohim that it translates to. But when they translated the word Elohim to English, they used lowercase g, gods, showing that Laban was representing that or worshiping this a false idol. It wasn't God's will. He wasn't worshiping God Elohim. He was worshiping that false idol. But to him, he believed it was a god. So that's why I believe it was originally written Elohim, but retranslated back. And that word Elohim can represent, the word itself can represent something you worship, but he was worshiping as a false idol is what happened. So really that word should be terrapin. That should be that false idol. And like I said, we could do a whole study over just that word. It's got a lot of different meanings, but in the plural form, it means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It could be represented for that. But mainly just to show that Laban was worshiping a false idol, but to him, he believed he was worshiping a greater power. Verse 31. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure, thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, lowercase g, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen him. So Jacob's acknowledging those terrapin here. Look, whoever stole them, let's figure it out. He doesn't understand and know that Rachel stole those idols. So he's unaware of that. But however, he is acknowledging the fact that Laban's questioning him over fleeing without telling him. So verse 33. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, and he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. So Laban's studying and looking and plundering, looking for those false gods, or false idols of worship. Let me put it that way. Verse 34. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture, images being those terrapin, those false idols, and sat upon them, and Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. Camel's furniture, I'm going to say, like, yeah, saddlebag. Put them in a saddlebag, and she's sitting on the saddlebag, or sitting on the saddle. Okay? Verse 35. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee. So that's her father. Out of respect, she would get up and greet him, right? Well, Rachel's telling Laban, look, don't be discerned. I can't stand up. And we'll see why. For the custom of women is upon me. Being point blank, she's menstruating. Custom of women. I can't stand up. Out of honor, I'm not dishonoring you. I just can't stand up right now. And he searched, but found not the images. So he looked and looked, but she had him in the saddlebag and was sitting on the saddle. Verse 36. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both." So Jacob's saying, "What is your issue with me? I haven't stolen anything from you. I haven't done you wrong. I've served you for 20 years, and throughout that 20 years, you've constantly manipulated and took advantage of me and my services, basically. So let's put all this information in front of a jury of peers, so to speak. Let them judge me. Let me see if I've been doing you wrong. Let that jury, basically, be the telltale judge." Verse 38, "This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten." I've stuck to mine, the ones that were of me. Verse 39, "That which was torn of beast I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night." Verse 40, "Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. 10 times meaning over and over again. That's metaphorical. It's not legit. But Jacob's just reiterating, look at what I've suffered through serving you honorably, respectably, and you're still trying to point the finger at me. You're still trying to gaslight me. And Jacob's just showing his commitment to Laban, that commitment to doing God's will. Verse 42, "Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked me yesternight." So Jacob's saying, God, Yahweh, he's been with me. That's why I have an abundance of riches. I didn't do you dirty. I've honored you this whole time. You're just mad because now I'm abundant and you're left with nothing. Laban wasn't following God's will. Jacob was. And that's what he's saying here. That fear of Isaac, that God of Abraham, God of my father, Yahweh, doing his will, that's why he is abundant. Verse 43, "And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto their children which they have borne?" What do we see in Laban saying over and over? Me, mine, these are mine. All these cattle, all these riches, all the children, they're mine. Where's God? He's given God no, like, recognition here, basically. And not to mention, Jacob earned all this stuff fair and square. I mean, he served him 20 years over and over, constantly getting deceived and wages changed, this and that. And Laban still, "No, these are mine. These are all mine." Verse 44. "Now therefore come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee." So they're trying to come together now. Let's sort this out. Let's work this out. 20 years with someone, I mean, that's a long time. You build up a relationship, whether you're going to have conflicts, and now they're both kind of, let's figure this out. Let's find peace. Verse 45, "And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar." So we've seen him do this before. What did it represent? He builds that pillar for a representation of God. He's using it as a positive idol, like capital I, basically, representing God. Verse 46, "And Jacob said unto his brethren, Gather stones, and they took stones and made a heap, and they did eat there upon the heap." So once again, we saw two chapters ago Jacob building this pillar of stone representing God in that place. That's what they're trying to do. Him and Laban are building a covenant, and Jacob's saying, let's build this pillar of stone to, let's get God here. Let's show God here in this covenant. It's just imagery. Verse 47. And Laban called it, this pillar of stone, bear with me, Yeger Sarduthah. Does that work? Yeger Sarduthah means heap of testimony. But Jacob called it Galeed. So Galeed means heap of witness. And when I first read this verse, I was like, why are they calling it two different things with the same meaning? I was digging too deep. We showed on the map the two different areas. So Yeger Sarduthah is the Aramaic word for Galeed or heap of witness. So two different words, same meaning. And the best way to represent this is down here in South Georgia, we say y'all. Up north, they say you all. Two different words, same meaning. Don't read too deep into it because I did. Verse 48. And Laban said, the heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed. And Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. What is Mizpah? So that word translated back to the Hebrew means to watch. So Jacob's saying here, kind of in a way asking Yahweh or God what he's needing him to do. Watch over this covenant. Mizpah, God, watch over this covenant. You're our witness that me and Laban can find peace here. Verse 50. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, representing God, Yahweh, as our witness in this covenant, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. So they're both in agreement here. This pillar representing God. God is our witness. We're going to have peace. We're not going to overcome this covenant. From here on out, we are going to have peace between each other. Verse 53. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us, and Jacob swear by the fear of his father Isaac. So once again, representing Yahweh, saying this covenant is Yahweh, the Most High God. This is the same God, God of Abraham, and all that we've read so far. Verse 54. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount, and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread, and tarried all night in the mount. Jacob offered sacrifice as a stamp over this covenant, sacrificing to God. This covenant, witnessed by God, sealed by God. From here on out, we will have peace. Verse 55. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them, and Laban departed and returned unto his place. So there's now a covenant of peace between Laban, Jacob, and God as their witness. Them two coming together, overcoming that. So what can we kind of take away from this passage? How can we apply it to our lives? So look at Jacob and Laban's interaction and really their solution for all the years of work and deception and twisting back and forth. These two men come together under God. God is their witness and made a covenant of peace with each other. So anytime you have a conflict with someone, no matter how big, how small, how long it's been, come together one and another as God, or through God as our peace. It's never too late. Don't hold a grudge. 20 years Jacob was going through strife and hardship from Laban. They still were able to find common ground from God and find that peace.